was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, then suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash.
And welcome to the 13th and a half episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. I'm your host, Adnar, and I'm joined today by my two wonderful co-hosts. I'll start off with Coleman. Coleman, how are you doing today?
Oh, someone actually called me wonderful for once. Thank you.
I took pity on you because I feel bad because your Dolphins traded away like your only good player for a conditional draft pick.
Whoa. So you're telling me Jarvis Land, this is getting off topic now. Nope, I'm not going to go there.
I'm just saying.
We should have done this before the podcast. Let's continue.
He's good.
Let's keep going.
Fine. We'll drop it. We'll go over to the smart person. Smart fan. The one who got the good player.
Yes.
Dave,
yes,
how you doing?
I'm good. The Eagles got a new running back today, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. Running back wasn't really their biggest issue, but it certainly was one of their issues. And this is not an NFL podcast, but so I will leave it at I am happy. And it really didn't cost them much. Fourth round pick.
Conditional fourth round pick. So, all right, with all that aside, I announced this as our 13th and a half episode because we are going to at least attempt today to go for a shorter episode than normal because we will be also recording an episode on Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, with Mick Moll. So we are actually getting Mick Moll on the show this time, unless he releases a video the day of.
I think this one's gonna happen.
So. This one's gonna happen.
What we said the first time though, and look what happened.
Those were unforeseen circumstances. Yes, we could not have prepared for that.
Mick Moll, just don't release any videos until Monday.
Yeah. No more videos. No more videos until Monday. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll try and make this as quick as possible. We just didn't want to have a long content drought between episodes. So we're going to go over a couple of the things that they went through or announced this week. Let's start off with the November logging character. And for the first time that I can remember, we have essentially two logging characters. So we had the First Order TIE pilot and his ship.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong? I can't remember this. Them giving out two in the same month.
I can't remember them ever giving out a ship.
Did they ever give out a ship?
I don't think so. I think this is the first ship, right? Yeah. But this is this is the first time they're doing this. I wouldn't be surprised if this meant quite a bit. Certainly First Order makes sense in my mind because the movie's coming out and it probably hints at a variety of other things. Certainly maybe the Rey thing we talked about last episode, as well as just the fact that potentially down the line there's dark side territory battles and giving out dark side characters would make sense. But First Order TIE Pilot's a really good character, so this is good for people that haven't been able to finish him. He's a super hard farm, so this is great to get a bunch of free shards for people. And the ship's a very good ship, in a target lock world we live in ships arena, it's a good source for that and it does pretty good damage. I'm not a huge ships fan either. Don't get me wrong. I'm not exactly out here competing for top 10 myself, but it is a good ship and he's a good character. So this is hopefully something they keep doing, especially since they haven't really done ships before and you don't want to go a whole month without a character. So maybe pairing them together would be a smart thing going forward.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I'm big into ships though. I guess I'll be the ship guy. It's a really good ship. I love it.
It is a really good ship. And all right, so I announced this today. I'm just quite salty today about ships because of what happened in Ship Arena to me. And I'm not going to get too much into it. Just say that I'm very unhappy with it. We'll leave it at that. But I go down to, I hope this is a signal that they're going to start having ships as daily login monthly login characters or monthly login ships. I want them to have the ships instead of characters. Because, one, I think people need to have more variety in ships. So by giving out more shards, people will ultimately get more ships. And two, I hope this is a sign that they're going to start working on ships to get more ships into the game. Because right now, rank 1 through rank 400 are essentially all running the same 5 characters.
Mm-hmm.
As their main 5. Some variations, but everyone has Biggs. Everyone's running Boba. Everyone's running Chimitar. Everyone's running Vader. Like, everyone's running them, except for the people who have Kylo's shuttle at 7-star, Millennium Falcon at 7-star. So people outside of you, Coleman.
Why would I have Millennium Falcon at 7-star, first of all? I don't have that. It's at 4-star.
Okay. But outside Kylo's of the people...
Shuttle is 7.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the majority of people are running those teams. And then the fifth can be TIE Pilot, First Order TIE Pilot 5s, some variation of that.
Yeah, I think the fifth is often can be up. Here's the thing. I think there's 3 lockdown. I guess we can spend a little bit on ships just for a second because we barely ever do it. But I think certainly you have Biggs and Vader and TIE Fighter Pilot are 100% on every team.
They're essential.
Those 3 100% are like on every team, certainly like in my top 100. Like I don't ever face a team that doesn't have those 3. Most do use First Order a TIE Pilot, but not all of them do. And then I think that fifth one can be kind of open. Some use Darth Maul. Some are using Boba. I know some have. There's like this crazy synergy. I think with Biston now,
it works really. Biston and Cassian.
Yeah, it works really well. In Cassian and stuff. So they're cropping up a little bit. And the people that still run, like I still run a Mace lead, just because he's the best geared. Commander that I have, and I use 5 still in my starting lineup, but like so anybody that uses Mace still, the handful that are left doing that, like my poor soul, still use him in the starting lineup typically. But yeah, for the most part it is pretty stale meta for ships, and it would be great to shake that up a bit with some new ships for sure.
That's the big problem.
I definitely think even if we see new ships though, I think TIE Fighters always pretty much majority gonna stay there.
Target lock's so powerful. I mean, it's just...
It's that dodge and gain 15% turn if you capital ship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, they need to do something about the target lock meta that they have going on with ships right now. Because it's the only thing you can run, really. If you aren't running target lock, then you're not doing it right. Yeah. And I just... It's kind of like, as odd as it sounds, it's kind of like how ships are like how Arena is now with CLS. You know, everyone from rank 1 to 200 in Arena generally is running CLS on their team. And if you don't have it, you can't croc anywhere near the top. Well, if you don't have the ultimate team in ships, not only can you not get up there, you can't stay up there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no variations for other people to try. So, like, you can't be different and counter the meta with a different team. It's you have to use the same team because that's all there is available.
No, sure. They need to do something about it. And hopefully they will. Maybe they'll introduce some new ships. Maybe, you know, Hux or somebody will be a new commander. And they can maybe introduce some new First Order ships and then maybe some Resistance ships or something and just kind of go from there. And not to mention just being able to, you know, address some of the current factions, and there's always that always the kind of thing laying out there with Grievous and, you know, the Separatists potentially, and Malevolence. So we'll see. Hopefully some of this stuff happens soon, though, because I feel like Ships has been stale for a very long time, and people were really excited about that whole mode, right? I think they talked about it for months. It was fun when it launched, and then, you know, after like a month, it's, you know, been like 7 months of boring.
And then to only add crystals to the top 20 and be like, okay, mad dash to stay in the top 20 instead of like giving crystals to the top 100.
Totally. And that's super helpful. Crystals are great, but I think anybody that was surviving without them before is surviving without them now. So.
Mm-hmm. So, Coleman, you got anything, any last things on this?
I'm really happy they introduced crystals to ships, and it has been stale for a while, but it's always kind of had my interest and had my eyes on it. I'm like, they're going to do something with this, and the day they are, I'm going to be ready, and I think that time is close.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to do something soon.
Yeah, with this whole, you know, first ever ship in, you know, daily login, it looks like they're getting ready to do something with ships, so just have no idea what.
Yeah, like nobody knows has any idea what they're going to go from here, because it's never been done before. Everything people would guess is just purely speculative.
Oh yeah.
So let's get move on. They did down to business. Well, there's one other thing we got to talk about is they did release the event calendar, and there's a couple interesting tidbits to this. So
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't. It's all dark side stuff. So outside of the normal assault battle here and there, the Omega battles, stuff like that, I'm not going to get into it. We do have Palpatine event coming back in the middle of November, so fine and dandy. We are seeing the Fleet Master capital ship battles again, except
so that cadence is up and running now.
What is this word you speak of?
Hmm?
Cadence? What is cadence?
Mm-hmm. You tell me.
I don't. Is it coming every 1 to 4 months?
Maybe.
So, but we'll be getting the Endurance, the Home One, and the Executrix events. No Chimera event this time around.
Here we go again.
I'm just saying that they said specifically it will not be around this time.
I wasn't talking about that.
Yeah, I know. I'm choosing to ignore you. So the two most interesting things that are happening is the Thrawn event is back quite soon after it was just here. I think it's a 6-week turnaround.
Yeah, is that going
monthly now?
I don't. I mean, they didn't say anything about it.
Mm-mm.
They just have it coming back at the end of November. I think it starts on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it does start on Thanksgiving.
So, I mean, it could be monthly. They didn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
The only other thing I can think of is if it's not monthly, you're going to be required to have Thrawn for something.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. Thrawn was... They waited a decent amount to bring that back. They should have these things come back. I mean, if you work on the characters, you should be able to get them relatively... Yeah.
Which again, anything territory battle related, certainly you should have Phoenix Squad ready by now.
Oh, yeah. It's just it's a matter of, you know, we got the event, we had to wait for 4 to 5 months for the event to come back, and then we get it twice in like a 5 to 6 week span.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the only crazy part.
It is, but you know, for the player base, it's good because anyone that doesn't have him is probably not.
They're losing out. Yeah,
with that, I mean he's incredibly good. Probably the best Darkseid character in the game, so you kind of want him if you don't have him. And yeah, if Dark Side Territory battles are coming anytime soon, he's going to be extremely important part of any Empire team you're going to build, whether you run him as lead or as just a, you know, support character within the team. So yeah, it's good that he's coming back more frequently so that people can obtain him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that he's coming back. It's just, it was surprising to me that was all.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
The other interesting thing is they had the territory battles listed, and they did not list the ones for the last week. So, like, they have the territory battle Hoth Rebel starting November 2nd, ending November 7th, the one that starts the 13th and the 18th. They don't have any other listed for the month of November. I mean, they can't have just forgot to put it on.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't see that before. Huh.
So there's two things people are speculating. Well, one thing everyone's speculating, but it's not going to happen, is that Dark Side Territory battles are coming at the end of November. That's not happening.
No. Nope.
I think it's more related to the what's ahead. What was that clue? God. It was
something with the mask or a different face.
An old foe returns to reveal their true face.
What would that have to do with territory battles?
Well, generally, when they leave out territory battles, it means some kind of event's going to happen or some kind of character's getting released. Because I've noticed they don't really like to pile on new characters as a territory battle is happening. They'll normally like place it in between.
Okay. But then not to have one the second half of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that popped into my head was they weren't going to have any territory battle because the day that the next territory battle was supposed to start is Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
Oh, they probably don't want to do one over Thanksgiving.
Exactly. And the next one would technically start in December. It would be like December 2nd, I think it would be. So it wouldn't be on this calendar. That's the only thing I was thinking, is they just didn't want to have one over the holiday.
Hmm.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense not to have one over the holiday. I mean, people are out. The participation's going to be low. Like, asking people to try to do their combat missions on Thanksgiving, like, I don't want to do anything that day but drink a lot, eat a lot, and watch football. And I think that's probably a lot of people's plans, and people are traveling and flying everywhere, and it's just a busy couple of days, so it does make sense to kind of give people a break during that time and say, don't worry about this too much, and you know it'll be back here for you when you get back. But what sucks, though, is that it's so infrequent already that like it's just less reward, so if you're working towards stuff like Yoda or whatever, you're just going to have to wait longer, but whatever. It is what it is, I guess.
But I guess why wouldn't they, if this was the case, what would they benefit from not telling us? Like, telling us that's why we don't have it on the schedule.
I don't know. I mean, you're not exactly talking about the greatest communicators of all time. So, I don't know.
All right, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, they're not exactly, like, just wonderful at communicating all their rationale for things. So, I am excited. Well, we get our monthly 10 shards for Wicket. Maybe 10 shards. 6 to 10 shards?
It's 6 to 10.
Isn't it supposed to be just 10 of 10?
Maybe, but I don't know. I feel like they're not. They never fix anything. They just change the wording. So I bet that when it comes back, it's just 6 of 10. Mm. And now you get, you know, similar to what they just did for the events today with the new Night Sisters when you did it a second time after your first playthrough.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, so, you know, I'll mark that down on my calendar, my monthly maybe 10 shards, and then I will wait patiently till the middle of December to get 10 more. I can't wait. This is exciting.
I will wait for my not to get 10 shards and sit here and be crying myself to sleep over not having a Wicket. I'm going to cry myself to sleep tonight because I don't have a 7-star Wicket.
I would. I want Wicket. What can I say?
But you don't get what you want till I get what I want.
Okay, fine. Oh, who knows? Maybe with Dark Side territory battles, maybe you will get what you want.
But would he be Dark Side?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking. He's not. Well, but they haven't had a bounty hunter not be Dark Side yet, right?
I don't think so.
No.
They're all Dark Side, right?
Yeah, they have scoundrels that are
both. Yeah, but not just a bounty hunter.
But he's technically a bounty hunter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's not really.
It would depend on which side, I think, or which era they do, or they would use.
Yeah. Well, either way, they're going to have to introduce a ton of characters for Darkseid because there's so much. Mm-hmm. There's so there's a lot less.
Than not if you have Empire.
No, Empire's got a ton for sure, but I mean that makes sense, right? Empire and Rebels are what Star Wars are built on, but the other factions, you know, certainly you need to beef up a lot of the other factions that don't have a ton of characters. Night Sisters just got a little boost, but
yeah, we're gonna need at least 15 more, I'd say, Dark Side characters.
I think that's the difference right now between the two, right? About 15 to 20 difference as far as the total characters across Light Side and Dark Side. So there's probably going to be a bunch. I think we're going to talk probably more about this on Sunday, but I think there's going to be a bunch. So you might just end up getting someone like Hondo, because I think Bounty Hunters is a cool faction that they haven't really done a lot towards at all in a while. No. And they gave Boba this interesting addition to his leadership ability when they reworked him, but it doesn't really do anything for them right now. So like it's still need to, because they're not obviously viable, but it's a pretty, because what it gives them additional health based on potency of all bounty hunters.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean so. that's a pretty awesome ability, right? Because you're talking about makes your entire team beefier.
They get 15 speed for each debuffed enemy. Bounty hunters too.
Do they also get turn meter?
From a thermal detonator explosion.
But all of that stuff was bounty hunter related, right? Uh-huh. Or some of it scoundrel related. Scoundrels don't get anything, right?
It's all just bounty hunter.
Gave them all that bounty hunter stuff, but then bounty hunters stink.
Yeah, if they had some two good bounty hunters outside Boba Fett and possibly 88, then it could work. But Zan Wessel,
there's three.
I wouldn't call Cad Bane good.
With a rework, he could be.
Well, yeah, with a rework, anybody can be good.
Well, Cad Bane. He was one of my first pay-to-play characters.
He was my first daily login character.
Yeah, he was my first daily login character, too. But when I went on my Chromium binge, I 7-starred him. I never used him.
Yeah, oh, God, I was so happy I was never around for the Chromium buying.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. I mean, it depends what you define as fun. But
spending a bunch of money to hopefully get shards.
All right. Yeah, it depends what fun is, but yeah. Anyway.
So, Coleman, do you want to add anything?
Mm-mm, I'm good.
You're good? All right. Well, that's, man, you're being quiet tonight. I don't know what to do.
I don't know either. I mean, I feel like, I don't know, something's coming.
I hope
it's Inferno Squadron.
Oh, God. If they don't put Inferno Squadron in this game, I'm pretty sure Coleman's going to light something on fire.
They will. They will.
That's just mandatory.
Yeah, I'm confident they will.
Yeah, because I mean,
Battlefront 2 is a huge game. They'll build some cross pollination there for sure.
Some cross advertising. They'll release like Iden, hopefully the other two, or even Admiral Versio.
Yeah. Can I just add this? We still don't have a Jedi Luke. Saying something's mandatory. I think Luke.
That's gonna be a while away after this whole commander.
Yeah,
we don't have a
proper Chewbacca. We don't have C-3PO. Yeah, I know.
There are other.
We don't have Padme yet, for God's sake.
All right.
Yeah.
We don't have Jar Jar.
You know, definitely need Jar Jar. Droidica.
Hey, I will say this. If they want to get a younger crowd into the game, they put Jar Jar in. Because if... All right, us
but the
as
young crowd is older now.
Yeah, the young people are older. When we first watched these movies, the prequels, we saw it as Star Wars fans, and we're like, who the hell is this? Get him off the screen.
Yeah.
And but if you were like 10, 11 years old, he's your like C-3PO.
No.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes.
No. I don't think so.
I can see Jar Jar being liked by like 10, 12 year olds who liked Jar Jar when the movie first came out and are now, I mean, what did that movie come out? 15 years ago?
I don't know. If there's Jar Jar fans out there, young Jar Jar fans out there, their fathers have failed them miserably.
Oh. Ooh. You're attacking parenting skills.
I'm just going to attack fathers everywhere. Don't let your kids be Jar Jar fans.
Does that include you, Dave?
No, my son's 2. He has no idea what's going on. He looks at I have an AT-AT shirt, and he looks at that and goes, truck. So I'm like, yeah, it's Star Wars trucks. Star Wars trucks. So that's what he could have. But he's probably still a couple of years away from, like.
And then when he watches and sees Jar Jar for the first time, he's going to be like, I like that character the best.
No, he's not. He's not going to watch the prequels.
Oh. He's just not. You're just not letting him.
I'll give him the cliff notes. Give him the cliff notes.
Cliff notes. Well, there's this thing as a baby.
I'll fast forward to all the Obi-Wan parts, and that's all he'll watch.
Just make sure he gets the Darth Vader rebel scene in Rogue One.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's mandatory watching right there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's such a
good
scene.
So how are you going to explain Force Baby?
Force Baby.
Hey, that's the talk when he gets older.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, when a man loves a woman... Or if the Force wants to impregnate your mom, those are your two choices.
There are things called metachlorians.
Yeah. If you have a lot of them, you don't need a father. Okay, I don't think we've ever gone this far off topic, so I'm going to rein this shit in. Okay.
This is what happens when we try to do a short episode. We end up talking about fatherly talks about metachlorians, so...
Be like, what happens when your mom decides to have a baby who's the savior?
You're doing it again. You're getting off topic.
Okay. I mean, we're gonna move on to the update that they gave us that I am giddy like a little schoolgirl about. So they announced a while back that when they announced the cadence and reward changes to territory battles. That they would be implementing stuff to allow guild leaders and officers to coordinate better for territory battles, be so much better. Well, we hadn't seen anything, and then they released this. What was it, like Thursday or Friday last week? And the world rejoiced. So what they're allowing the guild officers and guild leaders and even other people to see... makes tracking, because most guild officers and guild leaders were tracking this stuff manually on a spreadsheet. A lot of that is going to be going away because of this. So the first thing they're going to be doing is you can now view player contribution by phase. So you can see who participated in phase 4 special mission, phase 4 combat missions, phase 4 platoons, you know, all that stuff, instead of trying to break down the math between each phase and tracking it. You can see who's participating when. So this is great just to see who's actually participating, because that's half the battle right there. Now, do you guys deal with this? You guys don't really deal with this at all. But is this something you guys will look at? Because this is stuff that you will be able to see. It will be part of the leaderboards.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of this stuff's super important. To be able to know the contributions you're getting from individual players, how active players are. I mean, that's all incredibly important in the kind of guild world that territory battles has kind of now created. So, And then being able to, yeah, there's a bunch of other stuff you're going to talk about that's just super valuable. So, I mean, all these changes are good. I wish they launched with them, obviously, but
I don't think they knew how much work was going to have to go into.
For sure, for sure. And but you know what? Honestly, this is where we're, like, 5 or 6 territory battles in, so this isn't that bad. I mean, this is pretty quick response, so overall it's a good thing. And, yeah, I mean, it's certainly for – this game is super intense for guild leaders or people that are, you know, tasked with leading territory battles. Every little bit that they can give them – obviously, the people have gone out and built their own spreadsheets and their own way of tracking stuff, and, you know, people use a variety of things to communicate, and all that stuff's great. But for this to be readily available in-game so that people don't have to create their own things and can save them a little bit of time here and there, it just helps quality of life, which is super important for people when you're already spending a ton of time playing, you know, a game. And I think that's a good thing because it helps – save people's sanity and probably keeps them around longer, which is good.
Yeah, the one thing I wish they would have changed about this is I wish it wasn't viewable by the entire guild. Because this will encourage everyone in the guild to kind of, I hate to say attack, but it, for lack of better terms, attack certain people every phase. When you don't want the whole guild to do that, you want guild officers and guild leaders to reach out to the person. You don't want somebody posting it publicly in your Discord channel and calling them out and have everybody attack this person to get their stuff done. You want the guild leaders and the guild officers to do that. That's the old, it's minor, but I can see certain people in guilds taking it a bit too far. So, that's the only complaint, not complaint, the only wish I had, that it was just guild officer and guild leader eyes only. But overall, that's amazing. That, out of all of it, that was my favorite change. But they also added a bunch of other stuff. So, guild orders. So, leaders and officers will be able to set orders on each mission to direct their guild to make strategic choices. So, what they can do is the missions can be highlighted to draw attention to them. Missions can be prohibited. So, a guild member can still choose to participate, but they receive a warning message that they're participating in a mission that the guild leader has prohibited them from doing and must choose to willingly disobey orders. Players that disobey orders will be tracked in stats under a new leaderboard called Rogue Actions. That whole sentence there was awesome.
we don't even have
to track people who are like, ah, screw this, I know better. No. There will be a leaderboard of people who give the guild leaders and the guild officers the middle finger and just do whatever they want. I like that. I don't know. It could be another thing. I wish that only guild officers and guild leaders could see it. But again, that's just nitpicking.
Yeah, no, I really like that feature. It's like, because I know a lot of people just go off and be like, I need to finish these up real fast. Just do this, and this.
Yeah. And I mean, this is what people want. Not everyone checks Discord all the time. So to actually have it in front of you in game saying, do not do this. Do this. Like, in the game menus is... it will save so many screw-ups. You'll also be able to customize a message written in the details panel for all missions to communicate for further information. So, for example, they gave, get to 2 stars and then stop. Up to 6 of these customized messages can be saved for quick reference. So essentially, it's just more communication to get out there.
Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely.
The more you can talk to people and give them direction and give them order, the more likely they are to listen and the less likely they are to make mistakes or screw ups and stuff like that. And, listen, for guilds that are taking territory battles super seriously, there's certainly your casual guilds out there that were probably fine with the way things were. But for your guilds that are taking it super seriously, that maybe have recruiting wait lists and things like that, like, this helps you to, you know, again, further recognize those that are going to be positive, good contributors versus those that are going to be, you know, those guys that don't listen and, you know, deploy in the wrong spots and do missions when they shouldn't, and helps you weed those out of your guild if you so choose. And it just gives you the ability to do that much easier than trying to track it on your own. So all very good stuff.
Yeah. And it will also, like, honestly, this helps get rid of the issue of guilds that don't use Discord. Like, you can still communicate with your guild if you don't use Discord now, which you could never do before.
Yeah, I don't know how people are doing that right now, to be honest with you, but if there are guilds out there that are doing it, power to you. good job.
Yeah, good luck.
So the next thing that they said is actually, I think, the start of something bigger. So guild order notifications. So leaders/officers will be able to send push notifications and inbox messages to guild members, letting them know that guild orders have been changed. This can be used to remind players to do an action.
Hmm.
So essentially, we can send in-game mail to our guildies. That is what I think it's the start of.
Yeah, that's a very interesting mechanic. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. It's a very good concept, but I was curious.
Well, I'm assuming what you do is, like, you, like, as a guild officer or whatever, you type into something, like, these are the orders. And then the game will automatically just send it to all 49 other guildmates.
Yeah.
Whenever you change it. So, it's not like you're picking and choosing. It's just sending it out to everyone once it's done.
Yeah. Which I think for people who don't really pay attention too much, it'll help out a ton. Because it's just like getting their attention with push notifications just going off on their phone.
Yep. And again, another way to communicate without the need for outside communication.
All I got to say is I'm thankful not to be in your guild because you'd spam my phone.
Oh, hell yeah, I would. I am super annoying.
I know.
And I have no shame. I'm like, but because of that, we were able to gain 3 stars this week.
Hey.
So, I mean, we went from 30 to 33, so we're not lighting the world on fire, but to go gain 3 stars from one territory battle to the next, it took a lot of coordination. So, I'm looking forward to this so, like, we don't have to have a third and fourth part-time job doing territory battles.
Yeah, unpaid.
Unpaid. And I want this, the screenshot they gave for this, I want this test account. They have, 1,333.6 million credits and 12 million crystals. I want this. Can you just transfer that over to me? That'd be great.
Just do a trade, one shard of Coruscant Underworld Police for that.
Yeah, it's a fair trade. Trust me.
It's Cup.
It's Cup. He's a big deal. It's kind of a big deal around here.
He kind of stuns on basic. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And then the last thing that they said is the contribution max lockout. So once a territory has reached 3 stars in the territory battles, players will no longer be able to participate in the deploy and combat missions on that territory. And this is something everyone's been asking for, and frankly, I'm shocked wasn't in at the beginning. Like, it's quite simple.
Yeah.
And I can't believe people actually did that. Like, who's like, hey, I know what I should do. I should start deploying all my stuff into this one we can't get any better in. Instead, and ignore the rest. So,
I mean, some people don't pay attention, so.
Some people are also just trying to pad their stats.
Yeah. No, I mean, just gives guild leaders and those that are managing territory battles the ability to do stuff they should have been able to do all along. So, and it'll help guilds I think it will help guilds obviously obtain more stars and make their lives easier, which is going to be necessary when maybe there's a point in time where we have to do 2 territory battles. So,
don't bring that up. Never going to do 2 territory battles at the same time.
Hopefully not, but you never know.
Yeah, the only thing, I mean, can you guys think of anything that they else they could have added?
Off the top of my head?
Not off the top of my head.
The only thing I think they could have added is to fix the tickets. But that is, like, number one on my wish list for ever.
I think it's on top of everyone's wish list, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's the only thing that this was missing. Like, if they would have had that at the bottom, like, just one sentence at the bottom, be like, oh, and when this is released, daily tickets will be fixed. Happiest camper in the world.
This game would have blown up.
Like, you would have seen Reddit happier than you've ever seen Reddit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I guess one thing, because I know some, not all guilds do this, but some do it. They assign platoon characters. I think some larger guilds probably that have, like, heavier rosters don't need to worry about that. They can kind of free-for-all platoons. But for the guilds that don't have that have, you know, smaller rosters and maybe don't have a ton of every single character, they have to be a little bit more strategic about it. And it maybe would be cool if in-game you could assign platoons to people. Like, if the guild leaders had the ability to, like, send you an inbox message with, like, platoon these characters, like almost like you could click on the cell and then select a guild member that then would alert them to put their character there. I mean, that's obviously a crazy amount of functionality, but would be a cool function, would be a cool thing for guild leaders that want to be able to do that. That's a ton of work though, and I would never expect them to do something that in depth, but that's the only thing off the top of my head I could think of that would be kind of a cool, helpful thing for some guilds that do have to get that, like, minutia-oriented to platoons, because some have to do that to ensure that they can get as many of them completed as possible.
Yeah, I guess one thing that would actually not be... It would be more feasible for them to do without doing crazy amounts of coding like that is allow the guild officers or guild leaders to select certain rare characters. And if you select, let's say you select Paplu, and let's say 4 stars and higher, every platoon that has Paplu on it, because you know your guild doesn't have it, don't allow people to put platoons in that one.
Lock
out the individual platoons. Yeah. And this way you wouldn't have to go through each one. You can just have like a preset, if they have this, block it out.
That would be smart.
That's the only thing I could think of, really, pertaining to territory battles. Allow for blocking out. I mean, you don't even have to get that complicated. Just allow them to put, ignore this mission, ignore this platoon, kind of like what they do with the combat missions. Allow them to put that into platoons as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun. I like that. It's good.
So, so we kept it fairly short. Do you guys? Yeah, I am quite proud of us, actually. I guess that will be it until we record Sunday with McMole. We'll start with you, Colvin. Got any final thoughts?
Not really. I mean, I don't have anything. It's been quiet.
Been pretty quiet. How about you, Dave?
We're excited to have McMole on, so look for that on Sunday. We're lukewarm to have McMole on. We'll see how that goes. We're excited to have McMole on. That should be a lot of fun. So the next episode will probably be a little bit longer than this, and when I say a little bit, I mean a lot of bit longer than this one, and it should be pretty good stuff. I think we have a lot to talk about, so that'll be exciting. And then we're gonna go record our other podcast. So not to name drop that one, but I think you talked about it before on the podcast a little while ago. So look for that content in the next week or two as well.
Yep. We're gonna go record our first episode of Inferno Squadron, our new Battlefront 2 podcast about the game Battlefront 2. So we'll keep that. I'll include that on the Twitter and all that stuff. It should be out within a week, depending on how long, iTunes and all that stuff take to review our podcast. But yeah, that should be it. Thank you all for joining us, and be prepared for Sunday when we might go over 2 hours.